In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is so good to see all of you worshiping together this morning, in spite of the fact that we are apart from one another physically. We thank the Lord for this technology of being able to meet together online in this manner. Now, today is supposed to be Mother's Day. I clean forgot that it is Mother's Day today because I miss the usual buzz that we have in the church before Mother's Day. And before Mother's Day, the young people in the church will be busily preparing for this day. But this year, this did not happen because we are all away, or we were all away from church. So I forgot that today is Mother's Day. And when I realized that Mother's Day is today, it was really too late for me to prepare a message for this particular day. So today, I will just continue with my messages from the book of Ephesians. And my topic this morning is what to pray for our church. Now, what do we have to thank the Lord for when we look at people over whom we have some spiritual influence? When we look at their lives, what do we have to thank the Lord for? Now, I had a group of Sunday school pupils years ago who were young, who were very, very promising. Now, this group of young people came from elite schools in Singapore, and they were very intelligent. And it was a joy, really, to teach this class because they were, all the pupils in the class were very responsive. They completed, they went through my class, and then went through the national service, and then went to university, and then they graduated. And many of them, or most of them, actually did very well in the secular world. But what could I say about their spiritual life? What could I say about the spiritual growth? I regret to say that there isn't much good that I can say about their spiritual growth. In fact, nothing commendable to say about them. Yes, when they were youth, when they were young, they were active in the youth fellowship, and they showed great promise to become great spiritual leaders. But this promise was never fulfilled. They, in fact, became quite nominal in the faith. They went to church, all right, brought the children to Sunday school, and that was about all that they did. How good it would have been if they were growing in the Lord, and they were growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also growing in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ by the way they live, by the way they show their love to their fellow saints. But I thank the Lord that from among them there was one who showed to be growing in the Lord. Now, when he was in my class, he was not outstanding at all. But after he left the class, and then when he later on in his life, he became very, very zealous in the service of the Lord. He loved the Lord. He showed faith in the Lord. And today, I give thanks unto the Lord for the service of this man unto the Lord, because he's serving the Lord faithfully today, full time. Now, how good it would have been if all my Sunday school pupils were like this this man that I talked about. Now, the great Apostle Paul, when he looked at the Christians in the city of Ephesus, had this great joy in him. He was filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord for the spiritual growth that he saw in the Christians at Ephesus. Now, Paul had ministered in this church for something like 3 years or more. And then he left the church. And then some years later, he wrote this letter, the letter to the Ephesians. And he wrote this letter from prison in Rome. And in this passage that we read, or the three verses that we read earlier on, we could see that he was full of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And what did he thank the Lord for with regards to these folks in the city of Ephesus? Look at verses 15 and 16. All right, if you would turn with me to verses 15 and 16, Ephesians chapter 1, you will see what he gave thanks to the Lord for. Let me read these two verses for you. verse 15 and verse 16. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you. So what did he give thanks to the Lord for? He gave thanks to the Lord for the faith of the folks in the city of Ephesus in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also gave thanks unto the Lord for the love unto the Lord that was demonstrated by the love for their fellow saints. Now, this faith here, the faith in this verse here, refers, of course, first of all, to their doctrinal beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that he is the Son of God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood for sinners, and that he died and he was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. And then he's coming back again. Now, these were the basic beliefs, the fundamental beliefs that they surely had in the one true living God. Now, this faith also refers to their trust in the one true living God, their confidence in him, that dependence on him for their Christian living. That, what about the love here? Now, the love here refers to the love for their fellow saints, for all the saints, for fellow believers, which must necessarily be the case if they truly love the Lord. Or how could they say that they were loving the Lord when they could not see him, but were not loving the saints whom they could see? So it was very, very necessary that they express the love unto the Lord by the love for their fellow saints. Now, I have served in this church for some 23 years now. When I look at the congregation members, what can I thank the Lord for? What can I thank the Lord for? Now, one thing that I can surely thank the Lord for, something that I don't have anything to do with, is of course the intellectual and the physical growth of the young people here and the young adults here. When my wife and I came 23 years ago, these young people today were in the lower primaries. Some were toddlers and some were not even born yet at that time. But today, most have graduated, some are working already, and some are still in the unis. But they have grown physically and intellectually. But what can I say about their spiritual growth? Have they grown in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, of course, I can't read the hearts of the congregation members here. I can't see what is happening in your heart. But I can comment on what I observe of the young people here and the young adults here. I can comment based on what I observe and what I see. Now, today, I thank the Lord that they express their faith. How? In the service in the children's ministry. They teach Sunday school. They teach in the kids' club. And they are very much involved in the running of the kids' club and running the activities in the kids' club. And some have even boldly undertaken to organize the summer Bible club, which was run very well in the last few years. And the last few years, the Summer Bible Club was very, very well participated in. So they have shown the increase in faith by the service unto the Lord. Now then, in the participation in the Bible study, I also note that the young people in this church, or at least many of them, have a very firm understanding, a good grasp of the fundamentals of the faith. And some of them not even show this good grasp of the fundamentals of the faith. They have also a good understanding of the deeper things of God. I thank God for this kind of faith that our young people have. And I look at them and I'm filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord for the faith that he has given to our young people. My prayer for them is that they will continue to grow in the faith, that they will continue to grow in their service unto him, and that they will become more and more exemplary in their testimony. For I know that ahead of them lies many things that are going to put their faith to the test. For example, their faith will be put to the test one day when they have to choose a spouse, yes, a life partner. And their faith will surely be put to the test one day when they are offered a job. Or their faith will be tested when they are offered a promotion, whether to take the promotion or not to take the promotion. You know, and then their faith will be tested when it comes to, let's say, buying a property. Where would they want to buy a property? Would they want to buy a property near the church so that they will be of good service unto the Lord? And then their faith would also be put to the test when their children come. What kind of education do they want their children to have? What kind of schools would they want their children to go to? So their faith will be put to the test. And often acting in faith could very well mean that a person would suffer temporal losses or temporal disadvantages. I hope the faith of our young people will grow to the extent that they would be able to say that I want to act in faith in the one true living God. I want to glorify Him. I will do all things for one purpose, and that is to glorify Him with eternity's values in view. Now then, what about the faith of the older ones? When I look at them, can I give thanks unto the Lord for the faith of the older ones in the church? Can they be entrusted with the care of the church? Yes, can they be trusted? Are they trustworthy to continue with the care of the church, with the care of this church, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church? Now, they would prove themselves indeed to be untrustworthy if, let's say, some years down the road, this church no longer focuses on the preaching of the gospel of truth. Yes, this church has allowed humanistic thinking, humanistic ideas to creep into the church to the extent that the focus no longer is on the preaching of the gospel. Yes, the focus is on social and political issues. The church has fallen away from the truth. It has become apostate. Sad will be the day when this church no longer stands up for the word of God and for the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This church is only interested in human rights. Yes, on interested only in championing the rights of, say, of people choosing their sexual orientation. If people want to be gays, this church will say, yes, we'll speak up for you. If people want to be lesbians, this church say, yes, we'll speak up for you. If people want to be transsexual, this church will say, yes, we'll speak up for you. Or if people want to abort their babies without any condition at all, this church will say, yes, we'll support you. Or people want to terminate their lives because they are suffering from an incurable disease, this church will say, yes, we will support you. I trust, my dear friends, that this will never ever happened to this church. I thank the Lord that a number of the older ones here had grown, and they've proven them that thus far they are faithful to the word of God. Yes, they are holding fast to the word of God, and thus far they have shown that they are willing to take the position of contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I thank the Lord that they have enough knowledge to be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong. And they are strong enough to resist all the false teachings, particularly the false teachings of the health and wealth gospel. My prayer is that they will continue to grow, continue to be very, very steadfast in the faith, and then they will be increasingly strong in taking the position of contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And they must continue to grow, and they must continue to be steadfast. Because in my life, I've seen some people who were very faithful in their younger days. Yes, for years they were faithful. They appeared to be very, very strong in the Lord. They appeared to be very, very strong in taking the position to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But in the latter part of their lives, they showed their true colors. They were in fact traitors to the gospel. I pray that this will never ever happen to our leaders here. But they will continue to grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will continue to grow in their steadfastness. My prayer is also that the whole church, not just the leaders in the church, will continue to be faithful, and that they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will grow in steadfastness in the faith. Not only the leaders, but all. I hope that all members, my dear friends, will be able to encourage one another and say, like what is written in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I trust, my dear friends, all of us will be in that position to be able to say so. Next, Paul thanked the Lord for the love the Christians in the church at Ephesus had for all the saints. And so he says in verse 15, look at verse 15, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and heard of your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul was very, very thankful to the Lord that the Ephesian Christians had love for all the saints. Now, Paul was thankful that these saints there had love for their fellow saints. It was not that he was not concerned about unbelievers. Paul was also very concerned about unbelievers. He loved both believers as well as unbelievers. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says that he would be all things to all men so that he could by all means save some. So you see, he loved both believers as well as unbelievers. But Paul had his priority right. Charity must always begin at home. And so he thanked the Lord that the folks in the city of Ephesus, the Christians there, were showing their love for all the saints. And he thanked the Lord for their love for all the saints. Now, this love for all the saints is very vitally important, as we said earlier on. Because how can we say that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we cannot see, but do not love our fellow believers whom we can see? So if our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed true, then we must show our love for our fellow believers. Now the question is, can I thank the Lord as I look at our congregation members for their love for all the saints, for saints both near and far? Now before I answer that question, yes, first let's ask ourselves, are we truly saints? Now we are saints indeed if we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have repented from our sins. If we have done so, then we are true saints, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question is, how can all men know that we are saints, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? And how can we ourselves know that we are saints, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord gives us the answer. And he says that in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, the Lord says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. My dear friends, we show that we are true disciples, true saints in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have loved one to another, if we love our fellow saints. Yes, that shows that we are true disciples, true saints. Now, how much did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ love us? He loved us with his all. On the cross of Calvary, he gave us his all for us. And that is the way, my dear friends, we ought to be loving one another. We ought to be loving one another sacrificially, friends, and we must show it. And I'm very thankful that there are those who show their love for their fellow saints. How? I'm not saying that this is the only way that they show their love, but There are many ways that they would show their love, but one principal way that they show their love for their saints is by their faithful participation in the church prayer meeting. They are committed to come to pray. So every Friday, they will come to the church prayer meeting to pray. They come to pray not so much for themselves, because when they come and pray and when they're on their knees praying, invariably they will be praying for other people. They will be praying for all the saints, both near as well as saints that are far away. Then I also know that there were those who wanted very much to come to pray. Yes, they desired very, very much, but were not able to do so because they did not have the transportation to come, or they were not well enough to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. But now that we have this prayer meeting online, they are so very glad that they are able to participate in the church prayer meeting. And so they have joined in the church prayer meeting. Why do they do that, my dear friends? They could very well turn on the television on a Friday night to watch a show or something like that. But no, they will come together and pray with the rest of the saints. Why? Because they have love for their fellow saints. Now, what about others? Yes, what about others? What are we doing on a Friday night? On the Friday night, can we not come together and show our love for the Lord Jesus Christ by praying for others? My dear friends, I urge you, if we are really true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us show this love. By this love, we shall show all men that we are indeed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, in many congregations, there are those who find it hard to fellowship with other people. This church is not accepted. Yes, we are like other churches also. And in the many years that I have been here, I've seen people who could not fellowship with other people, even though they tried to fellowship with others, they could not. Right. Now we can easily identify them. Now, what I found lacking, and I still find lacking in this church, is that even though we know who they are, we do not make enough effort to want to try to help them to fellowship with others in the church. As it were, we do not try hard enough to help them to integrate into our fellowship. My dear friends, of course, I understand that such effort is very demanding. Yes, it requires sacrifice. It requires our patience, and it requires our being empathetic. In other words, it requires our having the ability, or must try to have the ability, to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. But isn't this what love is all about, as taught in the Word of God? The Word of God tells us that love is kind. Yes, love is long-suffering. Love is considerate. Yes, love does not think of its own. In other words, love is not selfish, and love is not easily provoked. By the grace of God, my dear friends, I pray that all of us may be willing to show this kind of love to those people who are seeking for fellowship in the church and are not finding it. And the sad thing is, when they are not able to find this kind of fellowship in our church, they will go to another church and look for fellowship in another church. And the sad thing is that the fellowship that is offered by another church may be good fellowship, but the teaching there is not sound. Now, we have soundness of teaching here. Now, why can't we offer the fellowship to these people? In grass effort on our part, but let us put in the effort by the grace of God. Let us do so, because we are really true saints, true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about loving the saints who are far away? Do we think of them? Or do we pray for them? Or is it a case of out of sight, out of mind? Now, this was certainly not the case with the Christians in the city of Ephesus. Paul says they loved all the saints, which means that they loved the saints in the church, and they loved the saints outside the church, and they also loved the saints, maybe saints who were far away. In our context, who are these? These could be people who have gone overseas to study, or to work. Or these could be people who are serving in the fields, serving the Lord in the fields. Yes, I'm very glad that in our church prayer meeting, in our prayer list, we have all these saints in our prayer letter. We include the names of our the saints in the church. And we also pray for the saints who are far away, those who are abroad, and those who have gone overseas. And we also include the names of missionaries or servants of the Lord who are serving in other countries. My dear friends, if we are truly loving, let us remember to pray for the saints who are not just in our church congregation, but pray for all the saints who are abroad. But we can do more, friends. Yes, we will be an encouragement to all those serving out in the fields if someday, someday, we participate, we will gather ourselves to participate in some mission trips. That will be the day, my dear friends, that we will participate in some mission trips or even organize mission trips to visit with these people who are serving in the fields. Because by our going there, by our physical presence with them, my dear friends, we are going to be a great encouragement to them. And not only will we be a great encouragement to them, we will also be a great encouragement to those whom they are ministering to. Now the question is, did this church at Ephesus continue to have this love? Did they? The answer is no. It's sad. Some years later, after the Apostle Paul had passed away, in the latter part of the life of the Apostle John, who was at that time in exile on the island of Patmos, the Lord revealed to him what was going to happen to this church, the church at Ephesus, which was one of the seven churches of Asia. Now, let me read you this account that the Lord Jesus Christ said about this church to the Apostle John. All right, I read to you from Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, please listen. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the angel of the church, many commentators believe that the angel of the church here refers to the minister of the church. These things says he that holdeth the seven stars. The person who holds the seven stars here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. These things says he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven golden candlesticks here refers to the seven churches of Asia. I know thy works and thy labor, talking about the service of the church at Ephesus. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And verse 4, this is a very, very telling verse. Verse 4, yes. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They had left their first love. Now, was this church a very, very sound church doctrinally? Of course, it was sound doctrinally. They're so sound to the extent that they were even able to try false apostles and expose them as false apostles. They were able to do that. And they were very zealous. They labored hard for the Lord. So it appeared. But friends, they lost their first love. Now, what does that mean? Now, you remember we said that we express our love by loving one another. Perhaps members in the church have stopped loving one another. Members were filled with pride. They quarreled with one another. Yes, and people in the church were not willing to esteem others better than themselves. And so they quarreled perhaps, and perhaps there were factions in the church. And then the other thing that could very well have happened to them was that they forgot those who were serving abroad, those serving in the fields. They stopped praying for them, and they stopped supporting them. My dear friends, how sad a situation this church at Ephesus had gone into. Faithful at the beginning, but not so in the latter part, as shown here in the book of Revelation. Reverend Dan Ebert, the late Reverend Dan Ebert, a missionary, American missionary sent to the Philippines many years ago. He had gone home to be with the Lord. He was serving the Lord in the Philippines for many years. And as I told you many times before, he served actually with a tribal tribe, the Palawanos. And during his time there, he translated the New Testament into the dialect. Those people had actually no written language. But Reverend Ebert listened to the language, then romanized the language, and then gave them the New Testament and taught them how to read. Yes. And this missionary, of course, there were times when he went back on furlough to the States. And he said there were occasions when he drove along the streets in New England, and then he would pass churches after churches. And these churches were beautiful church buildings. And he said most of these churches, in fact, were very orthodox in their faith. In other words, they were very fundamental. They were very conservative in the faith, very much like us. Yes, very much like us. But you know what he said of these churches? Reverend Ebert said that all these churches were dead churches. No interest in missions at all. Now, you know what that means? No interest in missions means no interest in the missionaries. No interest in the missionaries means no love for them, no support for them, no prayer for them. Now that was the situation these churches got themselves into. My dear friends, what kind of church are we? Are we very concerned about our service unto the Lord? What about loving saints, not just saints at home, but loving saints who are abroad? And by this kind of love, we show that we are saints, truly saints who love the Lord, true disciples of the Lord. May this church, my dear friends, never ever lose its first love for the Lord. Let us pray that the Lord will always be our first love and that we not depart from Him. And we show that the Lord is our first love by loving our fellow saints, saints at home, and saints abroad as well. Then after giving thanks unto the Lord for this church at Ephesus, we gave thanks to the Lord, remember, for the faith that these saints in the church at Ephesus had and their love for all the saints. He went on to intercede for them. He went on to pray for them. Now, most pertinently for us, what are we to pray for our church? Yes, let's look at the prayer that the Apostle Paul had for the church in the city of Ephesus. Verse 15 to 17. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, what did the Apostle Paul pray for this church? The Apostle Paul prayed that the folks in the city of Ephesus might be given the spirit of wisdom. Yes, verse 17. Might be given the spirit of wisdom and might be given the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was very, very concerned about the spiritual growth of the folks in Ephesus. Now, it is true, the Christians there had faith in the one true living God. Now, it is also true that they had faith for their fellow believers, for fellow saints, for all the saints, in fact. And for this, Paul gave thanks unto the Lord. But Paul was also very concerned that their faith and love would remain static, that they will not grow. And so Paul says, I pray that you will be given the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of the revelation of the spirit of in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, the Apostle Paul, even the Apostle Paul was very, very, didn't ever think that he had arrived. So he wanted the Christians in the church at Ephesus to realize that they had not arrived. Even though they had faith, even they had love, Paul, in fact, said this of himself, that he never thought of himself as having arrived. And so in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, he prayed that the Christians in the city of Philippi might be given the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of the revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, we surely need God's mighty Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Yes, we need the spirit of wisdom to give us wisdom. But the question is, what is wisdom? Now, Christian, wisdom is the ability to see things vain as vain and to see things worthy as worthy. It is a thing that enables us to see that God is the only one who is absolutely worthy of our worship, is the only one who is absolutely worthy of our love. It is a thing that enables us to see that things that are not seen are eternal and the things that are seen are temporal. Yes, it is a thing that enables us to realize that godliness with contentment is great gain, and that we brought nothing into this world, and for sure we are not going to bring anything out. It is a thing that enables us to have our priorities right, so that we will set our affections on things on high rather than on things on this earth. We will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. My dear friends, we need to pray for the spirit of wisdom. First, to be given the spirit of wisdom, we need the spirit of wisdom to give us this kind of wisdom. Yes, the wisdom that is of the spiritual kind. Now, some people think that education makes people wise. True or false? To some extent, of course, it is true. But most generally speaking, yes, it may not be true. Someone has rightly said this. Education has produced a vast population that is able to read but unable to distinguish what is worth reading. Unable to distinguish what is able to read, what is worth reading. Now, do you know how to read? Of course, we know how to read thanks to the education that we receive. But the question is, do we know what is worthwhile for us to read? My dear friends, what is the most worthwhile thing for us to read? Now, if the Holy Spirit, if we've been given the spirit of wisdom, we will surely know what is the most worthwhile thing for us to read. Now, the most worthwhile thing for us to read is, of course, the Word of God. Yes, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us this understanding that the Word of God is the most worthwhile thing for us to read. And it is this spirit of wisdom who gives us understanding when we read the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he ministered on this earth, said this to his disciples. He said, "How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you the truth." Yes, he will guide us into all truth, and he will teach us the truth. He is the spirit of wisdom, and therefore he is well able to give us understanding concerning the truth. In fact, he's the only one who can give us understanding with regards to the truth in the Word of God. Now, if the spirit of wisdom does not teach us wisdom, when we read the gospel will just remain as head knowledge, never translated into heart knowledge. Yes, how sad it is to see people who know the gospel and who know the truth of the gospel, who know the way of salvation, but are not willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Their knowledge remains in the head, as head knowledge, and never transformed into heart knowledge. That is why their lives do not show forth the power of the gospel. Yes. And we know, my dear friends, the devil actually has a lot of knowledge about the one true living God. We might say that he knows the devil and he knows the Lord in the head, but not in the heart. That is why he's not willing to surrender himself unto the Lord. And so we read in James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believed and trembled. the devil believes. And he trembles because the knowledge that he has is just hate knowledge. He's not willing to surrender himself unto the one true living God. May the Spirit of wisdom give us wisdom from on high, the wisdom to know the truth, not just in the head, but know the truth in our heart so that we will be willing to apply the truth to our lives and live well for the Lord. Now, for sure, the Spirit of the Lord will teach us the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the foundation of wisdom. Yes. Now, this fear is not terror to believers. Yes. Of course, believers understand this truth that God is the judge and God is well able to judge them for their sins. They know that. Yes. But this fear that the believer has is actually holy fear, reverential fear. Yes, they fear the Lord because they love the Lord. Yes, they see Him as the Heavenly Father. And they fear to offend Him, not because they fear punishment from Him, but they fear to offend the Lord because they do not want to grieve the Lord. They do not want to hurt the Lord. And so they will order their lives in a manner that is compliance to the Word of God. They express the fear of the Lord in this manner. Friends, let us allow the Spirit of wisdom to work in us so that we may fear the Lord and live right and live a life that is most glorifying unto the Lord. Now next, Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians might also be given the Spirit of revelation. Now, revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the Spirit that revealed the truth to men of God in ancient times, so that they, inspired by the one true living God, moved by God's Holy Spirit, they penned the Word of God. And so Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They penned the Word of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Today, my dear friends, we need this, the same Spirit of revelation to reveal to us the truth. Not that He will reveal to us the truth and then we pen God's word. No, this revelation that that God wants us to know permanently has already been recorded in God's word. There's no more new revelation. But we need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. We need the Spirit of revelation to give us understanding of the truth. Now, it is true. We don't understand many things in the Word of God because spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. So often we come to places where we don't understand the Word of God. So what do we do when we arrive at such a situation? Now, what we need to do is really to pray unto the Lord to give us wisdom, to give us understanding. And then perhaps with the help of the commentaries, we might be able to understand the truth. But we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, because He is the Spirit of revelation who revealed the truth to us. Then, but sometimes we might be reading and reading and we try to understand. We may still not understand. But let us have the patience to wait for the day when the Lord will give us the understanding. But sometimes we go on, but we still do not understand. When we really do not understand, then let us pray that we may have the patience to believe that one day the Lord will give us the understanding. And for sure, yes, everything will be very clear one day when we arrive on the other side of glory, because we'll be seeing everything face to face. Yes, everything will become very, very clear, and we get understanding of what is given to us in the Word of God. Then let us be very wary of people who say that they have been receiving revelations from God. They receive these revelations through dreams and through visions. Again, let us be reminded that the Word of God is complete. Yes, what God wants us to know, He has already completely revealed in His Word. Holy Scriptures, there are no more new revelations. Yes, all that the Lord wants us to know, as we said, He has already revealed to us. But friends, the Lord is very kind and gracious to us. He makes, He wants us to understand His truth. Yes, the Holy Spirit of revelation will give us the understanding of the word of truth. But He also ordained means by which we may be able to understand the word of truth. We depend on the Holy Spirit, of course, but He also ordained means by which we will be able to understand the spiritual truth. Now, for example, He enables us to conduct Bible studies. So we have many Bible studies in this church. We have the Sunday Bible study. We have the Ladies Bible Fellowship study. We have the study of the Westminster Confession of Faith. We used to have the Agape gathering, but we had to suspend it for a time because of this COVID-19. And then we had the University Fellowship meeting. We also have to put that in suspense for a while. But friends, the truth is, the Lord has ordained this means for us to learn God's word. Friends, let's allow the Spirit of Revelation to teach us His truth. And I would strongly recommend to you to participate in the Sunday Bible study that will take place about 15 minutes or so after the worship service. Why don't you join the Sunday Bible study? The study of the book of Genesis, which is what we're doing now, is really very, very good. Very, very instructive. Very edifying. I hope that you will join. And when you join, you are going to be very, very blessed, because there are so many things that you do not understand about creation, about the flood, and about the patriarchs and so forth. Study this, the book of Genesis, and you will understand. And it's very, very important that we understand the book of Genesis. Otherwise, my dear friends, we really do not quite understand the foundation of our salvation. So it is very needful that we understand, study the book of Genesis. So I urge you to come and participate in the Sunday Bible study. Begin today, 10, 15 minutes after the worship service. Now, years down the road, the Lord willing, if I'm still alive, I hope that I will be able to hear glowing reports concerning the faith of the brethren, of the congregation members here, and the love of the congregation members here. I hope to hear that you would have grown in faith, and that you are growing from faith to faith, and you are still holding fast to the faith of the gospel, and you have well taken your position in contending for the faith, and that your love is, that your love has grown. Yes, you love not only saints in the church, but you love saints who are abroad, and you have taken numerous mission trips abroad to encourage the servants of the Lord who are serving in the mission fields. And then finally, I hope that I would have heard of the truth that you have indeed received the Spirit of wisdom, and you are well instructed by Him, that you have received the Spirit of revelation, and you have grown in your faith because you have known many things from the Word of God as revealed by God's mighty Holy Spirit to you. I hope, my dear friends, also that by the Spirit of wisdom, that you will be applying the truth to your lives so that you would be living lives that are most glorifying to the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of life. We thank you, Lord God, that by your grace, you have saved us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, O Lord God, for the faith that you have given to us, and also for the love that you have planted into us by God's mighty Holy Spirit, pouring that love into our hearts. And this morning, Lord, we pray that this faith in us that you have planted may grow, and our love may also grow. We thank you, O Lord God, for giving us the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we, O Lord, surrender to you and allow your mighty Holy Spirit to work in us so that our faith and our love for our fellow saints may be well manifested. Teach us, O Lord God, to grow in you to the extent that all members of the church may be willing to be very, very participative in the sharing of the gospel and in the work of missions. Oh Lord, we pray that you will be with us. Cause this church to grow from strength to strength. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.